Well,
I tell you, for years I've been...
I prefer to look at the academics.
Welcome to the House Committee on Transportation and Economic Development. We are going to take things a little out of order to respect the schedule and a little bit of urgency on Senate Bill 258. So I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 258. Before I do, I want to note for the audience, anyone's listening, that Representative McEwen is excused today, so any action we might take will not, she should be reflected as excused. So I'll open a public hearing on Senate Bill 258. Troy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate Bill 258A engrossed reallocates monies from transportation projects funded by House Bill 2001-2009 legislative session, reduces the allocation of Chandler Lane project in Baker County from $3.6 million to $2,427,758, and increases the allocation to Baker County for local projects approved by the Oregon Transportation Commission from $5,878,917 to $7,051,159. Specifies that upon completion of the project on U.S. Highway 26 at Glencoe Road, any remaining funds will be reallocated to phase one of the project on U.S. Highway 26 at Chute Road. Declares emergency effective upon passage.
Thank you, Troy. And afterwards, we'll ask you to repeat all those numbers without looking at the summary. Paul.
Good. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Paul Mather, Highway Division Administrator for ODOT, here to speak in support of House Senate Bill 258. In the 2009 session, the Jobs and Transportation Act was passed, and in that were listed several projects listed by project name and by project dollar amount. By listing those in statute means we have to come back and make changes to either scope or dollar amount through changes in statute. As we've kind of worked through this in last session in 2012, Senate Bill 1543 was passed, which required our Transportation Commission to file an annual report to you on any projects that were over or under budget and to make recommendations on where to reallocate funds. And so attached to my testimony is their report that they submitted last November. I will note that when we based the bonding for these projects in 2009, based on where our current projections are, we are down about 9% below what we projected to be at this point in the overall jobs and transportation funding. So this bill specifically moves money from the project in Eugene, the I-5 Beltline project, $10 million, to the Woodburn Interchange project. There are two, as was noted, two minor revisions to projects in Baker County. In my testimony is a letter from Baker County outlining their request to move those funds, and then amendment that was in the Senate side that moves money from the Glencoe Interchange project to the Chute Road to Western Washington County interchanges on the Sunset Highway. Again, stays with our basic principles of keeping it within Jobs and Transportation Act projects as well as in the same region of the state. One thing I will note about the Woodburn project, and actually several projects, JTA projects, the funding for many of the large JTA projects were based on an assumption that they would receive a fairly large federal earmark. None of those earmarks have transpired. In every case, we've been able to either readjust the scope of the project or, because of good bids, being able to fully fund the expectations that were in the 2009 Jobs and Transportation Act. The one exception to that is the Woodburn project. We haven't been able to make that up. That's where the $10 million is. One of the other provisions that was in the Jobs and Transportation Act was for ODOT to apply practical design principles, which we've done to many projects, in particular the project in Eugene at I-5 Beltline. Applying that, we actually saved $20 million to a phase of project that not only made up the deficit of the federal earmark, but also allowed us to have this request to transfer $10 million to the Woodburn Interchange. The Woodburn project is on the verge of construction. We are set to, poised to begin construction this spring. As many of you may drive by that project, you see some of the work already starting to transpire there. So there is some urgency in securing this fund so we can keep this project on track for the summer. With that, I'll be able to answer any questions.
Very good. Thank you. Questions for Paul? He did a good job summarizing. I guess if someone were to walk in here now and you had 10 seconds to describe it, would it be reasonable to say that we're essentially moving money from the projects that have come in under budget to the places where they're needed, all within the counties, within the Jobs and Transportation Act universe?
Chair Reed, yes, I would be able to say that except one exception. I think largely what we've been able to do to date is by redesigning, rescoping, applying practical design. I think many of these projects still have to go to bid. This season and next season will be a very interesting season in that many of these large projects will be going to bid very shortly, so we'll be able to then see exactly what the bids come in as. For example, the Glencoe project wasn't contained in the Transportation Commission report just because the project's not complete. We don't know the exact savings on those projects yet.
So I'll amend
that. Your statement is essentially correct.
Just to say, we're learning more about the specifics of this project, and as they get more specific, we can reallocate within that universe.
Right.
Got it. Okay. Thank you. That stimulate any questions? I think you've done a good job with that. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
That's the entirety of the list who have signed up for Senate Bill 258. Is there anyone else who wants to be heard? I don't see any. With that, close the public hearing on Senate Bill 258 and open a work session on Senate Bill 258. Representative Betts.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 258A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Betts has moved Senate Bill 258A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objection to the motion? I don't see any. The motion carries. The bill goes to the floor with a due pass recommendation. We need a carrier. Representative Benz will carry. Thank you very much. Close the work session on Senate Bill 258. And come to the item you may all have been waiting for. We're going to talk about studded tires. And I think what we'll do is open a public hearing on all three bills that are on this topic simultaneously so people can feel free to talk to the merits of any of them that they wish. So I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2277, 2278, and 2397. Representative Greenlick, thank you for your patience. If you'd like to get us started, we'd appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. State Representative Mitch Greenlick, representing House District 33, which is Northwest Portland, out into almost as far as those road projects that you just talked about. And I'd like to talk about House Bill 2277. This is my sixth term in the legislature, and in all of my terms, I've had people sending me emails saying we should outlaw studded tires.
Would you mind moving the microphone just a little bit closer to you? We're hearing from some people in the back who are having a little trouble hearing you.
You usually have to move it the other way.
Agreed. Usually that's true. Thank you.
How about that? This is my sixth term in the legislature, and I was saying I get email in all of those terms suggesting we ought to do away with studded snow tires. I lived until last July at 1,100 feet with a 10% grade to come out of my house to get to the nearest street, and I knew studded snow tires were useful under certain circumstances. But it always struck me that I would be willing to pay the price of having those studded snow tires. What House Bill 2277 does is it proposes that the ODOT do a study on the cost of damage to the roads by studded tires, do a study on the number of sets of studded tires are being used on the road, and create a permit system to allow people who want to use studded tires during the allotted time to use studded tires to have a 12-month permit that would allow them to do that, and to calculate the cost of that permit by dividing the cost of the damage to the roads by studded tires by the number of studded tires that are on the road to create a cost per tire or a cost per car. It seems to me there are people, this has been viewed as a east of the state versus west of the state discussion, and I would argue that that's not true at all. There are people east in the east part of the state who think they need studded snow tires, and there were people who lived in the circumstances like I did in the west of the state who very clearly thought that they needed studded tires. So it struck me that we need to find a way that we can allow studded tires to happen where they need, but we can also, it seems fair, to have the people who think they need to use studded snow tires pay their fair share for the damage to the roads. I think ultimately this is a reasonable technology. I think we're getting closer and closer to a place where where there will be tires that will not have metal studs in them that will do what studded tires do under the circumstances that studded tires work best. Light frost, freezing rain, certain times that studded tires clearly work better. The last time ODOT did a study on this was several years ago, and they made some estimates, and there have been studies in other states that make some estimates. If the committee thinks it would be useful to have better information from the state before we move into the very specific act of getting permits and getting studded tires people to pay, I would be very happy to amend the bill to propose an amendment to you of the bill that would only deal with basically lines 6 through 10 of the bill itself, which would get the Department of Transportation to do a study, to estimate what those costs are, to present that study to the proper place in the legislature, to make an estimate of how many cars use studded snow tires, and to get an estimate for us of the specific cost so we would know what it might cost per car or per tire in order to have this permit. And I would be very happy if, Mr. Chair, you think this is a useful thing. We've had some discussion about this. You think that would be a useful thing? I'd be delighted to ask for that kind of an amendment for House Bill 2277. But I think this would be finally time to begin to move forward on this process, and I'd be happy to facilitate that.
Thank you, Representative Greeley. Representative Witt? We've opened public hearings on all three of the bills, so feel free to address us on any of them, or all of them.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Brad Witt, State Representative from House District 31, appearing before you today in support of House Bill 2397, as well as Representative Greenlick's companion bill. House Bill 2397 imposes a yet-to-be-determined fee on studded tires for the sole purpose of repairing damage caused by studs to our state, county, and city highways, roads, and streets, respectively. And Mr. Chairman, I don't know how much background has already been covered about these bills before I arrived here. I would be pleased to go through the specifics of the bill, if that's helpful.
That's just fine, please.
The bill imposes the fee upon the retail sale of each new studded tire or when the studs are applied to the tire. Those fees are collected by tire dealers and remitted to the Department of Revenue less a 5% dealer processing award, if you will. The state fund will then ultimately disperse those funds for road repair in the following manner: 50% to ODOT, 30% to Oregon counties, and 20% to Oregon cities. House Bill 2397 does not ban studded tires, either directly or indirectly. What it does do is impose a modest fee on the purchase of studded tires to pay for the damage that these tires cause to our highways, roads, and streets of our state. And on that basis, I urge the committee's positive action on this bill.
Thank you, Representative Witt.
Thank you.
Questions for Representative Greenlick or Representative Witt? Representative Gorsuch.
Representative Greenlick, I have a question for you. In terms of the study, would it be possible to broaden the study a little bit and just playing devil's advocate now? Is it possible to see if there are any, like insurance benefits to studded tires that we're not taking account of, or less injuries, less costs for healthcare because of someone using studded tires? Is it possible to do a study like that? Or maybe that's a question for ODOT, I don't know.
Yeah, I think there is a question. I'd be happy to look into that as I start to create an amendment to the bill, which would give them a charge to look at and make explicit the benefits and the problems related to studded tires. Yeah, that would seem to me a part of a study that would be useful. I think what we want to avoid doing is creating a $3 million fiscal to it, which would, which would send it off into the dead letter office.
Right. You've previewed
otherwise
the,
called the Ways and Means Committee.
There's only a couple members of that committee here. No chairs. So
that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got one chair.
So you've previewed, I suspect, some of the discussion to follow. I appreciate that. Representative Bentz.
Thank you. And the question, I guess, is if it's shown, as I've heard from ODOT, that the wear and tear on the eastern part of our state's highways is such that it's so de minimis, the roads wear out before the damage done by the studs requires replacement of the road, which is not the case on the western side of the mountains, where the volume, the sheer volume of traffic is such that the studs actually wear the road out before otherwise would be the case. So if that is true, and it appears that your study might so indicate, why would we then suggest that those on the eastern part of the state who aren't wearing the road out, they're using it, there is some modest wear, but the road itself wears out before the studs require work. So my question is, why should those pay, or what do you guys think we should do about that obvious inequity? Because I believe your theme is your studs are wearing out a road, therefore you must pay. If that's not the case because we don't have the volume of traffic, then what's the argument?
No, I would think if that's what the study found, then I think we would have a zone difference in this. I mean, if the study really did say, and I don't have access to the information you just suggested, but if that assumption is true, and in fact in the east of the county there was no effective cost of the damage to the roads, then I would say that would be a very different circumstance than you would have, say, in the I-5 corridor. If it turned out in the study that was damage that literally needed to be repaired, I mean, I would suspect if you damage a road, you have some share of the maintenance component, but I think that would be a perfectly good thing to find out in the study.
Good. Did you have a follow-up?
I have a follow-up.
Sure.
This is the challenge. It's, I don't think there's an answer to this, but I would appreciate your thinking on it, and it's like this. It is the damage that a studded tire does to the road is apparent when there's sufficient volume. It's apparent. Other costs are not so apparent. Let's call one congestion. This step in the direction you are suggesting would prompt one to ask, as I'm now asking, what other more refined means of imposing costs should we be considering when it comes to the use of our roads?
Mr. Vice Chair, that is an enormous question. I mean, and we're getting into that when we begin to talk about weight mile tax or mile use tax or congested tax. I mean, I think this is one small part of a larger question, which is how do we end up paying for our road system in a time of changing transportation models. I suspect this could be in its own right, though, have its own question, independently of whether we start doing use taxes or congestion taxes or other things in paying for roads. We do need to have to figure out how to pay for our roads, and in fact we are in a situation where we are getting desperately short of funds to maintain our roads, and our roads are getting desperately close to that place where you're not going to be able to maintain them, you're going to have to replace them, which is enormously expensive. It's been a while since I sat on this committee, but I know I spent a lot of time learning about when roads get below a certain pace of maintenance, then we really end up with a big problem, and I think we're dangerously close to that. I also have a bill to increase the gasoline taxes, but I don't think that's going to happen, but I do think we're going to have to figure out how do we pay for roads in the next 25 years.
Mr. Chairman, Vice Chair Bentz,
I think that's a that's an interesting question, and I also think I almost saw the term congestion pricing roll off your lips, but not quite. Not unlike this bill that provides for options. It does not ban tires. It allows the option to use studded tires, but at a price. I too think that congestion pricing is an interesting option that we should be looking at. And there may be those of us, I think I'm one of them, that might be willing to pay some kind of fee to have the option of traveling perhaps more quickly and avoiding some of the congestion. So I would be interested in that pricing structure. I would be interested in looking at that additional option.
Additional follow-up?
Yeah, just a follow-up. And the reason you didn't hear me say congestion is because that's an unfamiliar term to us.
Only at cattle drive times.
Only.
Get a prescription.
Around the Pendleton.
Exactly. Very
good. Representative Parrish.
Thank you. So, quick question. So, or maybe not quick question. Maybe, I hope you have a quick answer. The studies that were used for these bills, for the generation of these bills, are quite dated.
Yeah.
And the studless tires really have been around for about 20 years. They're not included in that data and study because, like the BlizzTrak tires that are on my car, that, you know, because we're urban snow people, right, go up to Mount Hood on a weekend and come back down and not want to have cable chains. So that information about the use, do you have consumer data, I guess, about the use of studless over studded that shows, you know, how many people are still using studded in Oregon versus how many people have, like me, have switched to the other kind? That would be the first piece of that. And then the second piece of that is, you know, well, never mind. Let's start with the first piece. Sorry.
Well, that would be part two of the study to find out how many cars are using studded or retractable studded tires compared to other kinds of winter tires. Certainly, I can't imagine there's evidence that the kind of tires made out of sticky rubber that seem to work fairly well caused any damage to the road. So, A, it would be who's using it, how much use are there of metal studded tires, and what's the impact of that use would be what I would ask for in the study.
Can I follow up?
Yep.
So I guess my question, let me kind of rephrase it, and I'm sorry, I'm not feeling well today, so not quite full functioning. My question then really is, if studless tires are doing this and studded tires are doing this, the $40 million or whatever, you know, number from a study from before I was born, it's probably not right, and I appreciate that you want to do the study. Did you also factor in people who use cable, like those, you know, chain things that you chain up? Because I've been behind cars coming home from the mountain using those and had rocks kicked up from those as well. So, I mean, I think those do as much, if not more, damage than studs, and that are we discussing that as well?
Well, they are, but you don't put them on for 4 months and leave them on whether there's ice or not.
No, I get it. So, I get it.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Parrish, the problems that you have just described are the precise reasons why House Bill 2397 does not specify a fee. I felt that the lack of current information made it impossible for me to be able to make any kind of determination of what would be a fair price, and that's exactly why it's not there. I would agree with Representative Greenlick that a study is warranted. So,
good. Other questions? Representative Cameron.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, for bringing the bills forward. This morning when I reviewed the agenda, it reminded me to tell my wife she needs to get in and take her studs off.
You may want to wait a couple of weeks.
Good reminder. Okay, if I don't see any other questions for the gentleman, Representative Nathanson, please.
Thank you. I would just like to review once again what seems to be contradictory information that I read in either letters from advocates who are starting to write us about this issue or other sorts of things I review, the extent to which they do and don't work. We have information from ODOT. We have information from other articles. What do we have a list of, let's say, four or five or six reputable sources to advise us they work in these conditions, they don't work in those? Because Sometimes I see people using them and I'm thinking, well, they're probably not very effective for you where you're using them right now. I'm just frankly confused by conflicting information.
Well, Representative Anson, I think what we'll do after we're through with these fine gentlemen is ask ODOT to give us an assessment of sort of the current state of information. Then we have a whole list of people who want to weigh in on either side. So if that's okay with you, we'll let them off the hook for the moment. Representative Parrish?
Thank you. The other question for Representative Green, like in 2277, I read this to be a first type offense, right? So police officers driving down the road, notices you have studs, they could pull you over and ask for, do you have a permit in your car? Do you intend this to be a first type of offense, or is it a secondary type offense of, you know, you're speeding and we saw you had studded tires? I just worry about the implication of a $500 fine. I think our state's too punitive for a lot of things as it is, but a $500 fine, and this is a first offense type of, the cause for being pulled over. So how did you intend for that to be?
I intended it to be the analog to the seatbelt law, which there might be occasion to pull somebody over. I mean, I don't think we're talking about a citizen's arrest in this, but there might be occasion for a peace officer to pull somebody over, but it would most likely be a part of some other offense. Just as the seatbelt laws. Occasionally, people are pulled over for not wearing seatbelts on their own right, but they're basically a secondary offense of a part of another stop.
Okay, not just today. I don't read the bill that way, so I just...
I think it's going to be amended anyway. So.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Okay, thank you, gentlemen. You're free to leave if you need are needed somewhere else, but I imagine we're going to have some extended conversations. You're also welcome to stay in.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much.
Paul, would you like to continue the conversation? We've had some questions. I hope you can give us a kind of a state of the of the state.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Paul Mather, Highway Division Administrator for ODOT. I got a few remarks I want to make. I'll make those based on House Bill 2277, but they really apply to all three bills.
Okay. Yes.
Hopefully that's a little better. So in the testimony I put in, we'll cover all three bills, but like I said, I'll be focused on House Bill 2277. Studded tires do damage to highways, and thus why we limit the use of studs from November 1st to April 1st. Studded tires do increase traction in a particular icy conditions, but there are other, as we've already talked about, other use or other methods out there, from tire chains to studless snow tires, four-wheel drive vehicles, others that also provide motors with options. As you've already talked about and attached in my testimony is the study that we did in 2000. It's already been noted it's a very dated study, and even some of the data that's in there is older than 2000. So I would offer some caution in using that, just because of some of the discussion you've already had, just because of the dated information that may be in that report. Some of the things specifically in House Bill 2277, it's a different approach for us in that it's not a fee, it moves to a permit. So just from an administrative standpoint, it causes some different things for the department to consider. The report also requires us to do a study on a biennial basis, and again, like you've talked about already, the study is fairly comprehensive. Just the thickness of it and the amount of effort that goes into that, we have some question about whether the data really changes from one biennium to another, and so whether a longer time period may suffice and maybe save the amount of study that we need to do on an ongoing basis. The bill also asks us to determine the number of vehicles registered in Oregon that use studded tires, determine a fee based on its damage, issue annual permits, and then issue generated from the revenue generated from the permits go to repairing damage on the roadway. Just a couple other things of note that may be confusing in that the permit would be available on a 12-month basis. So you might, say, buy a permit in June or July and then think that you have the ability to use studded tires because you have a permit, even though the season is from November 1st to April 1st. So that's something I think we want to consider, putting the bill together, some of the logistics that are there. And then also make sure we're clear on where the funds that are raised, where they go from city, county, and state standpoint. One of the bills directly addresses that, the other two don't. So just some of the things that we noted in going through the specifics of the bills. With that, I'll take any questions.
So let me ask a general question that probably covers some of the things that others are thinking about based on what we've talked about already. How, if you were to be asked to take on a study that would be intended to be sort of comprehensive in terms of the effect of various technologies on the roads and road quality, how would you go about that? Is it possible? I mean, I think about the fact that, as Representative Benz noted, the damage of caused by the studded tires is apparent. The avoided costs, less apparent, more difficult to quantify. What would a study look like? How would you go about that?
Mr. Chair, I think it'd look a lot like the study that was done in 2000. But in 2000, for example, we did parking lot surveys, we did phone surveys. There may be some advancement in technology that we'd actually be able to count studs through an acoustic type of method on the roadway to give us more accurate counts. So there's technology that's obviously changed in the last 10 years that we may be able to apply. We really haven't thought some of those things through. But I think the basics of the report would probably look similar to the report that was done in 2000.
Thank you. Representative Parrish and then Representative Davis.
So I'm looking at the bill, and I know that we're having a conversation that could be amended, but I really want to get some of these questions answered because bills do come back in multiple forms. A Class C traffic violation, if I get that in my personal vehicle, how does that affect my CDL? I don't have a CDL, but if I have one, does that cause me grief for a commercial truck driver?
Mr. Chair, Representative Parrish, unfortunately, I'm not a CDL expert. I wouldn't be able to answer that question. I can get back to you. I don't know that one off the top of my head.
Representative
Davis. Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to suggest a tack, because I think Representative Greenlick was right, that this is quickly turning into a $4 million fiscal for this study. You know, we don't live in a vacuum, and this is really directed to the committee rather than ODOT. We don't live in a vacuum, and many, many countries and other states have dealt with this issue and studied it rather extensively. I've seen some good meta research out there consolidating a number of those studies. It's come to some interesting conclusions. So it might actually be a quicker exercise to look at some of the research that's already been done rather than attempting to reinvent the wheel. And I'm sure that if we asked ODOT to do this study, you would do that. But I'm just making that point.
It's a good point. I think there are one of the real values, if we chose to go in the study route, would be to assess how the other studies would or would not apply to Oregon.
So right. That's a good point.
Representative Cameron.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. My question is how would we pay for the study? How would ODOT pay for the study if it's $3 million or $4 million or whatever?
Mr. Chair, Representative Cameron, we'd have to prioritize that with the other needs we have in our research program. We have other transportation research money we use from the federal government to research various transportation topics. We would prioritize this with those other needs. Obviously, if it was in a statute, it would move to higher on that list.
And Representative Cameron, obviously, I appreciate you asking the question. We're way in advance of knowing what it might look like yet, so we don't know the number, but I appreciate the point.
Yeah, follow up. If I may. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, we don't know what the number would be, but obviously, if we're talking about a study, there's going to be money coming from someplace. Can you talk about some of those other priorities that you do research on that may be at risk and that would be bumped as a result of this?
Mr. Chair, Representative Cameron, I don't have the priority list in front of me, but typically we research things from anywhere bike safety issues that may be coming in front of us to traffic signs, traffic striping, with an aging population, how to apply different things. There's different studies we're involved with collectively with other states. We're collectively on a national basis. But those trends and changes in the transportation environment that as we have, again, an aging drivers, that we had different vehicles that are out there, we're involved both nationally and locally with our own studies to learn and be adaptive to a changing environment.
Thanks.
But I can't give you any specifics. I'm sorry.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Benz.
So,
Oh, sorry, I didn't see Representative Lightly.
So the question I have to start the study, I guess I'm going to go back to try to understand. So I assume at this point, just like we have on bridges, that ODOT has some kind of state of the highway system. I'm going to go back to a comment that Representative Vince made. Now they're talking about the volume of traffic in different places. So we must know within regions what the condition of those roads are already regardless. And so to me, that has a bearing upon then how much we would ascribe further damage to that. But I'm trying to understand, so because it wouldn't be the same in all regions, depending on when the roads were built, when they've been rebuilt, or when they've been reconditioned. So do we have some basis in which to look at it from the standpoint of the age of the roads anyway?
Mr. Chair, Representative Leiby, yes, that's a key question. Clearly, our roads age over time. Mm-hmm. Studs do damage to the roads. Part of the question is based on the volume, based on the amount of studs that are used. Does that road need to be repaired sooner than we would normally have expected it to? I think as Representative Benz pointed out earlier, there are many roads where we use studded tires on, but because the volumes are so low, typically that road wears out sooner for other reasons before studded tires. I would point out, though, a couple of things. Even in Eastern Oregon, we do have sections of concrete pavement that's designed to last 40 years. In some of those very specific cases, we would see damage to those roads that would render them prematurely need to be replaced, but that's a very limited in Eastern Oregon, where it's more extensive in the western side, specifically around the Portland metro area. But that's a key question. I guess one of the other things I would add, there's a lot of technology out there from a pavement standpoint that we don't use in Oregon because of the damage that design of a pavement isn't worth the investment. Even though it's efficient, it's not worth the investment because it would have a premature life because of studs. So there's kind of an unknown cost out there as well.
That's another important point. Thank you for making that. Representative Betts.
Thank you for that clarification. Has there been an advance in this technology that's reduced the wear? Have the studs been reduced in size? And more to the point, really, are fewer people using them, or do we know without the study?
Mr. Chair, Representative Vince, without the study, we don't know how many people are using them. I think tire manufacturer better be able to speak to the change in the studs, but I do know there's a lighter weight stud that's being used now than what was used many years ago, but exactly when that transition was. But again, what I can tell you from a damage standpoint, we continue to see the damage in the roads. And a couple examples I've used to highlight that are I-5 between Salem and Portland, 97 between Bend and Redmond, are two areas with, again, very high volumes and high stud use that we see the damage to the highways to the extent that we have to repair or replace them much sooner than what we'd expect the life of that pavement to be.
Well,
Would this study that we're busy talking about be one that you're simply going to repeat what was done years ago, or has there been other events that you've read about in other states that would make the study more enlightening than maybe was the case, was it in 2000?
And Mr. Chair, Representative Benz, I think to Representative Davis' point, yes, I think that's the first place we would start is what's the current science and study around studded tires. I think in the last 10, 12 years, obviously there's been more research done. I've read several online from many national and state organizations that we'd certainly go to school on to understand and then design our particular study to understand the Oregon-specific application of some of the work that may have done on a national or other states.
I would just note in our packets, Troy found a very interesting comment that was posted on the Oregonian website in response to an article covering this hearing from a gentleman in Pendleton that details his experience as he's a tire dealer with some specific technologies that I found pretty interesting. So I might check that out. Representative Parrish?
Thank you. Do you have like a matrix of what other states are doing and how they're handling this and fees or permits or, you know, any of the tactics that they've used to address this?
Mr. Chair, Representative Parrish, yes. I think I found some information on the AAA website that had a break down by state. I think there's a number of websites out there that break down by states, who bans them, who has different restrictions, what's the season, how much the fee may be, the full range of how the 50 states deal with the issue. I guess, surprisingly, when I saw that list, I was surprised to see states like Wisconsin, I believe Minnesota, Michigan, some of those northern tier Midwest states actually banned studded tires, which is kind of on the same list with Hawaii and some of the more obvious ones you would think would be the ban. So it was interesting to see how the states use the, have looked at this question, I think, very differently across the country.
Thank you. Okay, let's start on our list of folks who have something to say. Thanks for the update. I'm just going to go down the list and call in panels of three: Peter Dinsdale, Jeffrey Barnard, and Mary Vogel. And we have a fairly long list, so I'm going to try and enforce a little time discipline. So, to the extent you can be concise, that would be great. And you don't need to read it. If you're submitting written testimony, we can read it too. You can summarize and make any high points you'd like to. Who'd like to start?
Call his name, of course.
Okay. Mr. Dinsdale, if you could start with your name, and we'd be glad to hear from you.
Right. Hello. My name is Peter Dinsdale. I'm a farmer. My address is 7455 Skyline Road, Salem. I own Blue Heron Farm, just out of town here and down in Corvallis. We grow berries, Mercer stock, grass seed, Christmas trees. I also have a farm over between Tumalo and Sisters, so I have to cross the pass a lot. Never had studded tires, never wanted them, and felt like I got along okay. My question really is why some of us can drive in these conditions that others apparently can't drive in. I know as a farmer, there are a number of ranchers and farmers over in the eastern part of the state, my brother being one of them, who and my brother is not an advocate for snow tires, or studded tires, I'm sorry, but yeah, it just seems like some people can make it work and some can't, and so that's really the question. I think if the majority of us, or a lot of us, can't, or can make it work without them, and the damage that they do is so severe that we need to look very strongly at, I'd like to outlaw them entirely, but if not, this bill 2277 I would support as a second choice to be able to require the users of those tires to pay the damage.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Who's next?
So you guys have a copy of this? Mm-hmm. My name is Jeff Bernards. I'm the one who was behind the initiative last year to try and get it on the ballot to finally get rid of the studded tires and let the citizens decide. But that just, I couldn't raise the money. I fought some special interest. We all know who it is, Les Schwab, tied me up in the Supreme Court for 8 months, so that kind of hurt me. But I guess I could read this, but you all have a copy? Is
we
that
all
true?
Have a copy.
Okay.
It's in Solis as well, I believe, right?
Yes. Yep. Okay, good. I'll spare you the thing. And so I'll comment on some of the things that were said earlier about having another study. And that was in here, too. And James Lundy, who's actually the dean of OSU Engineering now, said in 96 he did a study. And his first conclusion was we need to ban studded tires. They weren't necessary. And that's the entire technology. It hadn't come that far yet. And now, as you see, the Pendleton tire dealer, he stated that he'll put studless tires on your car, and if you're unhappy with them, he'll put studs in them for free. No one has come back and asked for studded tires, because once they've tried the studless tires, they haven't gone back, because the studded tires, if you're not on ice and you're on asphalt, it lifts you off the road, and it's actually a more dangerous tire. And today, driving down here, was raining hard. There are ruts in the road. My little car was hydroplaning down the road. It rains a lot more than it ices. It's supposed to be 1-2% of our weather is really studded weather, and so it's really unfair that I have to drive on a dangerous roadway because one person is scared 1 or 2 days a year. They drive for 5 months with studded tires. I really think it's basically unjust. I mean, well, everyone talks about their safety, but I don't think they're considering everyone else's safety. And statewide, 84% of us don't use studded tires, according to that 2000 study from ODOT. If 84% of us get by, it would take 100% of us to think that then studded tires are required. If we all use them, I'll buy in. but we all don't use them. It's the vast majority of us don't use them. And since tire technology has come so far now, it's ridiculous that a small minority of people in special interests want us to basically subsidize their business model, which is to sell a product like tobacco that does damage but unwilling to cover their cost. I mean, they blocked a $3 tire fee when Les Brown sat on the Transportation Committee. They wouldn't even hear it. And the Northwest Tire Dealers in their newsletter made fun of it. They thought it was great that they had a tire dealer and they didn't get a hearing and they got to keep their set of tires on the road. But the vast majority of us get by without, and I think it's really time that we look into technology and move forward with using the new tire. And people who feel like they've invested in those tires, get a pair of pliers, pull the studs out. You can still drive them. You just can't drive them and costing me hundreds of millions of dollars. And I called ODOT and asked them, you know, I talked to Lucy Moore, head of ODOT. I said, it seems to me it's a couple $100 million in damage, just not the 40 or the 70. And she goes, it's probably closer to $500 million a year. Well, that's the same amount of money the CRC is going to cost. Just think, if we got rid of studded tires, there wouldn't be as much controversy about where the money is going to come from for your CRC project. Saving money has a lot of virtue. I don't think we can just keep spending and borrowing. When 84 was filled in, that was all stimulus money. We didn't pay for that out of gas tax when 84 was. Those ruts were so bad. That was in concrete that should last 50 years. And if you look at the legislative fact sheet, which you should all have and have had, it states that studded tires cut road life in half in the Portland area. In half. And that's only 10% of the drivers are using them. It's unfair that 10% of the drivers can cost all of us so much money. It does. We don't need another study. It's out there. I mean, the Lundy study said it should be a $125 fee if you didn't ban them. The $10 fee, that doesn't cover it. I mean, it's not. I might pay $25 for a snow park permit. I just park in the parking lot. I don't cause hundreds of millions of dollars in damage. It's unfair that you can get that money from me to go skiing, but you can't get $10 out of someone who's, you all admit, you drive on the ruts, you can see it, you know.
Thank you. Thank you.
Are you cutting me off?
I am. Ms. Vogel.
Hi. I'm Mary Vogel, and I'm testifying on behalf of myself and my woman business enterprise, Plan Green. I live and work in downtown Portland, where my major forms of transportation are walking and biking, and my business, Plan Green, does consulting around planning and urban design for sustainability. As most of you know, ODOT has estimated that studded tires cut road life in half in Oregon. This is a concern for my profession because we need more transportation dollars for making our streets suitable for everyone, not just those who drive cars, and especially not just those who drive the cars that cause the most damage. At a time when communities are struggling to keep up with all their transportation-related responsibilities, it seems irresponsible to either put this off with another study or otherwise water it down. And I'm talking about 2277. I frankly can hardly support the other two bills. So I first deal with a major and unnecessary cause of road wear and tear in Oregon by having those of us who use studded tires or those who use studded tires pay their way by passing HB 2277. I would not support Representative Greenlick's amendment because I fear it would become an unfunded mandate. Okay, during its lifespan, the average studded tire chews up one half to three quarters of a ton of asphalt. And that results in a fine dust that gets in the air and on the land and eventually is washed into our rivers. That's another huge concern for me. I am especially involved in stormwater pollution and all. Some of that dust also lodges in our lungs, where it has an inflammatory and toxic effect. A Swedish study found that the toxic dust created by studded tires is 60 to 100% greater than the amount from regular tires. The extra damage from studded tires greatly increases our consumption of petroleum products and hence our carbon footprint. Modern studless tires are safer than studded tires in almost all driving conditions found in Oregon. There was a fellow who claims to have been or to be a ski patrol on Mount Hood, and he said he has been for the last 30 years. And he said he started out using studded tires but switched to the studless tires and would never go back to studded tires because in the conditions, and he drives Timberline Road every day, under almost all conditions, the studless tires are safer. I'm a member of the Oregon Nordic Club as well. We go skiing every weekend, that at least the snow is decent, and I don't know anybody in the Nordic Club who uses studded tires anymore. They've all switched to the studless tires. So far, snowier places like Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Ontario in Canada have banned studded tires. And studded tires create unsafe conditions for all drivers by creating ruts in the road, as Jeffrey and my other colleague here have said. So, as a cyclist and a pedestrian, they make me feel less safe with their aggressive sound. What they do to the pavement certainly makes the roads less safe for all cyclists. And I have too many friends who have crashed in potholes that I suspect were created by studded tires. So not only do studded tires cost us a lot more in road maintenance, they cost us more in public health, they cost us more in carbon footprint, they cost us more in the livability of our cities. During the time of fiscal and climate crisis, to continue to allow studded tire users to saddle the rest of us with the damage they do is irresponsible.
Thank
so
you, Ms. Wilma.
Please pass 2277.
Thank you.
Thank
appreciate
you.
Appreciate
it.
With a big fee on it.
any questions
exactly.
for this panel? Representative Parrish.
Well, it's more a comment. You don't necessarily have to answer it. I guess it's kind of rhetorical, but, you know, we did pass the CRC out of this body. There's a huge chunk of money being dedicated to the bike path. I don't own a bicycle. I don't think I've had a bicycle since I was a teenager. Based on the argument, though, that you just gave us about your reason to ban it, small population, it's going to cost a lot of money, I mean, the same could be true said for every transportation project that somebody doesn't use or somebody doesn't need. And I guess I'm curious how, you know, how that discrepancy balances in your mind when, you know, I live in West Lynn, my transportation dollars are going to a MAX train that doesn't, I can't access. And I'm certainly, you'll probably never see me bike across the Columbia River, but we're about to spend millions and millions of dollars to make that path happen. So I guess my concern is that, you know, we all have interests and things that we care about. If one, you know, logic applies to one population set, it should apply to the other. And again, it's completely rhetorical, but
well, first of all, I wish I had the data now. I should have anticipated that question, but I didn't actually anticipate coming here today because I had a medical appointment that I didn't expect would allow me to. But in any case, the differential between a road mile and the cost of painting roads for bicycles and all is, you know, I mean, it's so incredibly different that I just don't buy that argument. Certainly, MAX and even streetcar are a bit more expensive, but I'd like to get you the data on all of that and the arguments, because there are excellent arguments out there for why, you know, the entire public benefits, whether you take MAX or not, from MAX being there. Certainly any of the public I would say within the state, not just the Portland region, but certainly in the Portland region. I mean, most businesses and Portland Business Alliance, et cetera, really support having both light rail and streetcar because they know that they are good for business. And, you know, our roads are far less congested than other places. Our driving vehicle miles traveled has gone down because of MAX and streetcars. So it makes the roads a lot safer and less congested for you to drive on, even if, you know, you're not actually able to take the trains.
I guess my point really wasn't about the benefits of those things. It's about the usage. Some people don't see a benefit in using a studded tire. I live on a hill that's a 16.5% grade to get up to my house. My neighbors use studs on their tires so they can get off and on the hill because they feel like those studless ones don't work.
Is that steeper than Timberline Road then?
Hidden Springs in Westland is pretty straight up if you've ever been up that road. But I guess it was more, again, the logic of one should apply to both in that I'm not going to ride a bike across the Columbia River, and I don't use the MAX. I'm paying for those things, and arguably people are using them, and there's benefit. But the people who truly see a benefit in the studded have just as a legitimate argument about keeping them as they do, as you do about your passion for bikes and light rail.
Let them pay for them. I mean, they chose to live on the hill. That's the price. It's like you pay for a heat, though, if you live up on it. That's the way it is.
And gas tax.
Right,
and
you got it. Right. Thank you. Other questions? Thank you all very much.
Well, 2 years I worked on this.
Appreciate it.
Next up, Peggy Woolsey, George Adkins, and John Charles, please. Woolsey, do you want to get started?
Yes. Good afternoon, Chair Reed and members of the committee. I'm Peggy Woolsey with Tax Fairness Oregon. In general, our members advocate user fees when we find an inequitable situation. And I would say that if we repair $11 million in damage every year, but there's over $500,000 in damage being done every year, that leaves a lot of backlog. And I'm told that the fiscal for this is $40 million per year. This means that we all pay for incomplete repair of the damage that's being done. One of our members has observed that this might be good for salmon habitat, because it's good for the streams that go down the middle of I-5. I find that rather ridiculous, but he wanted me to mention it. The number of drivers using these roads with studded tires creates a lot of damage that's being done. And it's accumulating over the years. And I believe that the use of the permits for the studded tires is a very good idea. Another of our members has told me that he believes that if we do go with a permit system like this, that having a decal in the window would help with enforcement. The other things that I wanted to say about this is that the pros on this is that this particular bill, House Bill 2277, is a good one because it forces ODOT to assess the amount of damage that's being done and then levy the fees to make that pay for itself, and the people who are causing the damage would then be paying for it. The cons against this is that it doesn't address the lack of necessity for studded tires for most of the 5 months that they're being used. The risk to other drivers and users that are caused by those ruts in the highways when it is wet, people hydroplane in those ruts. Drivers from out of state wouldn't pay, yet their studs damage our roads too. In conclusion, of the three bills that are being proposed, this one has the greatest potential to make the studded tire users pay for the damage that they cause and reduce the use of the tires, of the studded tires. And House Bill 2278, at least the studded tire users are being forced to pay something. Against that bill, the charge is inadequate to cover the damages or deter purchases of studded tires. It doesn't apply to retractable studded tires, or people who currently own studded tires and just have them put on when they need them. Drivers could buy tires in border states or use tires on Craigslist and would not have to pay the fee. Drivers from out of state wouldn't have to pay. Out-of-state truckers pay for using our roads based on their damage, and so should the studded tire users. In conclusion, this bill has too many drawbacks to be considered. House Bill 2397 seems to be pretty fair in assessing the higher fees for the cost of the repairs that have to be done to our highways, but don't charge the people who currently have studded tires or who buy studded tires in border states or use tires and avoid paying the state fee. In conclusion, with a realistic fee, this bill would address some of those issues and the cost to repair the roads. We much prefer House Bill 2277, and our second choice would be House Bill 2397. On a personal note, I've lived in Oregon for 42 years. If a girl from the desert in Southern California can grow up to learn how to drive without studded tires or learn how to put on and take off her own chains, then I think that just about anybody can. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I apologize for... We don't do applause in here. I was a little confused when you said in conclusion a few times, so I appreciate it.
I'm sorry. In conclusion on each bill, sorry.
Got it. Thank you. Mr. Atkins.
Good afternoon, Chairman Reed and committee. George Atkins is my name. I was born here in Salem, and I've been driving the mountains to this to Hoodoo and the Hood area since I was probably 16 years old. I have to admit I've never used studded tires, but I have some fairly strong feelings that may come out here in terms of not being happy with the damage they've caused. I kind of want to concentrate on the safety aspect of tires, but coming at it from a little different perspective. Safety is a cost, but it's not really reflected and probably wouldn't be reflected in some kind of a study where you're talking about road damage. But for starters, studded tires are excellent rock polishers. I have stopped or been stopped in, you know, traffic jams heading for Portland, opened the door to kind of look at these ruts, and it's incredible how polished that pavement can be. In those grooves, it's really slick, and when you see that, that's especially obvious on the concrete pavement, where it's just remarkably smooth. Let's see. They also make excellent rock grinders, of course, and people have talked about those grooves, and you've all noticed them. Some vehicles are a lot more susceptible to kind of a jerking back and forth. I had an Altima that was that way. Then I would get into the Subaru, and it didn't do that. But I've talked to professional truck drivers who have noticed that even in their large trucks, you basically have to be just focused on the steering all the time. I don't know that any of you have experienced that, but it's not terribly uncommon, I don't think. The hydroplaning issue is serious, in my opinion. That's especially noticeable in the gorge, which I drive fairly often. When a car gets in those ruts, the water will set there. The roads, of course, are designed so that the water will run off, but it can't run out of those ruts very well. That's certainly a safety concern that all drivers have to face at times. Also, because there has to be a considerable amount of additional road repair because of the damage done by the studs, you've probably all experienced, you know, the bright lights and the beeps that are going on and the yellow or the orange cones and getting down to one lane. To me, that's a serious safety issue as well that we all face, certainly the drivers. you have to slow down. I suspect that ODOT could tell you. I don't have any facts on that, but accidents, I suspect, do increase in situations like that, and it's certainly a danger to the road crews, which, if it wasn't for the damage caused by the studs, we wouldn't be facing that at all. I have had on my car, on my Subaru, the studless snow tires since 2005. I tend to put, you know, in that short season, maybe 3,000 to 5,000 miles on them, and I'm well over 30,000 miles. I expect to get a couple more years out of them, you know, so it's pushing 35,000 to 40,000 miles. You can get a lot of miles on them, probably more than on studs. I don't believe they cost any more than studs, and I know they work at least 99%+ of the time better than studded tires. They're just, it's incredible, and you can, even on ice, there's some evidence that they work as well or even better. The technology is really remarkable. It's improved considerably since these past studies were done, you know, 10, 20, 30 years ago. The fairness issue, I won't get into. I won't read that to you. But a couple more comments, if I may.
That's what.
Okay. The question of the east side, west side. Certainly where there's traffic over there, like Hood River, Redmond Bend, you know, you get the ruts there just like you get anywhere else. And I know that's you're going to have to finesse something, or you may have to finesse something about that over there, because if you're out in Paisley or Lakeview, it's a different issue. But I would say that I'd be disappointed if all we get out of this is a study. This issue hasn't, the legislature needed to tackle this for 30 years, and it just hasn't happened, and it'd be nice to finally get it done. I would very much like to see a substantial fee, probably annual, not just at the purchase, to discourage people from buying and using studded tires. It really is not necessary. Your neighbor feels it is. I think the facts could prove otherwise. Certainly if they had a chance to attempt or to try a studless snow tire, they'd find that it works just as well in almost all conditions, perhaps even all conditions.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins.
Okay.
Appreciate your testimony. We may have questions for you. Mr. Charles.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is John Charles, President of Cascade Policy Institute. And because you're looking at a number of different bills, I'm not going to talk about specific bills. I'll just talk about some general principles that I would embrace going forward if you consolidate them into one bill. And I do support the concept of some kind of a fee, and I'm supportive generally of user fees in transportation and elsewhere in the economy. The first is that if you do have a studded tire fee, I wouldn't call it a tax, it's a user fee, it should be annual and not one time, because the damage is incremental. The second point is that it should be based on a good technical analysis of the damage, what I would call a cost-benefit analysis, and if ODOT needs to do some more work on that to satisfy everybody that it's current and technically proficient, then they should do that. And if that has a budgetary impact that's beyond their regular budget, then that should be, money should be appropriated for that purpose. And I do agree it doesn't need to happen every couple of years. Once now and maybe once a decade would probably be sufficient in the future. And third, the money generated from any such fee should be used only to address the damage caused by studded tires and not be pork-barreled away on some unrelated project. And I say that because I remember when the legislature authorized jurisdictions to first impose system development charges about 15 years ago, and SDCs have a certain rationale to them. And early on, in fact, there was a legal directive that there be a rational nexus between the damage imposed by new development and the fee in the SDC. But I can tell you, for the jurisdiction that I've watched for a long time, which is the city of Portland, that rational nexus argument went out the window right away. And over time, SDCs have become extortion schemes, and funds go into a pot and get whisked away, and the person who pays the SDC sees nothing. I mean, it's only a coincidence if they get anything in return in the area where the harm alleged harm is caused. So if you do this, the money really has to be tightly used to repair the damage. My final comment is that I understand that some people can see this as punitive or that it's punishment, but I don't look at it the way. I think a user fee system is fair. It's designed to be fair, and that if you walk in an Albertsons or a Safeway and you have 60,000 products and there are 60,000 different prices, the prices aren't there to punish you for buying something. They're not meant to make you stop eating. Prices in a market system are designed to make the experience work better, and a usage-based, price-based transportation system would make the whole process work better for all the users. That is my goal, at least. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Charles. Questions? Representative Benz, did you hear me?
Just one from Mr. Charles. So one might anticipate if there was a fee, and if the other tires are as good or better, we would soon see no studded tires. That would be a logical outcome, except for a few folks that are still, for whatever reason, convinced they work. The reason I bring the issue up is because I still wondered what will happen next, because either technology will progress to a point where we won't see them anymore if what we're hearing is true, or something's going to happen and they're going to be gone. I'm just curious, I asked it earlier, who's next under this you better pay for what you use scenario? And I've got a lot of thoughts of my own, but you've given this a lot of thought. I'm just curious, if we start down this road, who is next?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I would say that the really big challenge, and this studded tire issue to me is pretty minor in the broad scheme of things, urban congestion and the failure to price urban highways, that is the big challenge. And congestion pricing of limited access highways to me is inevitable and desirable. And I recognize that Oregon will not be a leader in that area, will be a laggard, but eventually it will come. And if done properly, motorists will actually be happy that it has come.
Follow up, please.
Right. So if we were going to be holistic in what we're about today, we wouldn't be talking just about these folks using studded snow tires. We'd be talking about the bigger issue, the much broader issue, which is indeed congestion. And we would be linking it to this discussion if we were going to be holistic about it. Is that your point?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, that could be one point. I do actually see Oregon's tradition of user fee approaches in transportation disintegrating. I see increasingly greater numbers of people wanting things and they want someone else to pay for them. I view that as a distressing trend, and I would welcome any legislative vehicle, any legislative discussion that has an integrated user fee market-based approach. I think that would be a great discussion to have.
One last remark, and that is that as to Redmond and Bend, that would be Central Oregon, not Eastern Oregon. It's not even close to Eastern Oregon. It's barely Central Oregon.
I was thinking the east side of the mountain.
Fair enough.
I appreciate your point, Representative Metz, particularly about the need for comprehensive discussion. And while we can't take on the comprehensive discussion any one single day, obviously that's part of our intent in the committee as a whole. So I appreciate the reminder for sure. Representative Parrish.
Well, thanks. And I kind of want to follow on with Representative Bentz and be a little more specific. So if you believe in fees, user-based fees, would that extend to the bikes paying a toll across the CRC?
And let me just interrupt. Is this a question for Mr. Charles?
They all suggested that they support user fees for transportation. Does that extend to bikes, you know, across the CRC, or a bike permit so police can find, you know, the bikes and we cover that cost because more bikes are stolen than cars? Does it include the true cost of a max ride? Because it's not whatever TriMet's charging. It's significantly more per ride. So do you extend that to all the transportation conversation, or just the part of transportation that you're kind of passionate about wanting to change?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Parrish, I'll answer for myself at least. I do embrace that. When I go hiking on Forest Service trails, I gladly pay a daily fee. I buy snow park permits occasionally. I think fishing licenses are a good idea. And to the extent practicable, I support all of those things. So.
Chair Reed and members of the committee and Representative Parrish, I also support user fees, and I pay for the parks where I go camping. I pay for the fishing license. I would pay a toll over a bridge. If I was a bike rider, I would pay a toll over that bridge.
Other questions?
One distinction I would make here, even though I'm not opposed to fees in general either, you know, I certainly don't mind paying the fee to go across the ferry on my bike or whatever. But I think here we're talking about a very small minority. I think actually 10% or less in the wintertime. You can hear these cars go by, and I've actually stood on corners, you know, and I get 5 to 8% over in West Salem in the last couple of years. But we're talking about real damage here that I don't think with today's technology is necessary at all. And so I don't see this really as quite the same parallel as just user fees in general.
Thank you. Thank you for the testimony. We have two last people, and Jim, your timing is good. Don't sit down. You're up. Ms. Walker. Walker, please.
Millions of dollars my community pays into during their business taxes.
Chair Reed, committee members, Jim Welsh with the Oregon Cattlemen Association, and the cattlemen were here the last couple of days for a quarterly meeting, spring quarterly meeting, and we did discuss this issue, and they just wanted to share a little bit that and kind of a reminder that there is a regional difference here, and there is a volume difference on travel on the roads. And it goes to Representative Vince's comments that those who do choose to use the studded tires on the east side aren't really the problem for wearing out the roads over there as they are here in around the Portland and I-5 area. And I think listening to some of the testimony, I think that more people are going to studless tires during the winter, then maybe we don't even need these bells, and maybe we should look at maybe some more public information and education, because I think there are quite a few more people using the ice and winter tires. If you go over the mountains, if you have those on your tires, you don't have to even chain up if they're in good condition. So maybe we don't need the legislation.
Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Ms. Walker.
Chair Reed, committee. I would like to speak to the general topic of the use of studded tires rather than
to... If you could please identify yourself for the record.
Excuse me, thank you. Lorna Walker. I'd like to address the general topic of the use of studded tires rather than a specific bill. One of the concerns that I have is that not all vehicles handle the road in the same way. That on a given day, there may be in almost any part of the state very dramatic changes in weather, anything from a very balmy, sunshiny type of day to hail, snow, ice, sleet, all kinds of road conditions. Also, it may be that on one side of the street, the road is clear, the driveways are clear. On another side, on the other side of the same street, there may be ice on the driveways or frost on the driveways or snow on the driveways, even though it's shoveled and maintained on a daily basis through much of the winter. It's not really terribly practical with the great number of variables to expect to go out and put on and take off chains several times a day. It's not terribly practical to go out knowing that there can be very dramatic changes in the safety of the roadway. It's my observation, and I have no base data to substantiate it, but it is an observation, that since the pattern of wanting to address the topic of prohibiting the use of studded tires, that many people go out on the roadway during inclement weather unprepared, and it greatly increases the hazard of to everyone, whether they use studded tires, whether they have four-wheel drive, whether they have a really herky snow tire, which, by the way, are not made for all vehicles. Some of the all-weather tires are really not made in such a way that it provides the same degree of protection for some vehicles as for others. So when you consider eliminating studded tires, personally, from the standpoint of a person who has lived in a number of states that do permit the use and has lived during a time when they didn't even exist, through a time where there was a very, very strong studded tire that you could drive in almost any circumstance safely, to now what is a what, from my perspective, is a rather delicate studded tire, which is very fine for some circumstances, but for my sense of safety and comfort, wouldn't take me into some circumstances to the degree of comfort and safety that I would personally desire. So I ask you to bear those things in mind as you are making your decisions. Most of us have a really great appreciation for good quality roads and highways, well-maintained roads and highways, and diverse forms of transportation. And we all pay for the diverse forms of transportation, and we all pay for the roads and highways that are used by many different types of vehicles and with many different types of traction devices that are involved. So thank you for hearing me. Do you have any questions?
Thank you very much. We appreciate your testimony. Are there questions for Ms. Walker? I don't see any. Thank you very much. That completes the list of people who have signed up to testify. Is there anyone else who wants to be heard on any of the three bills that we currently have open? I don't see anyone. Committee, I think we've heard some good testimony, obviously some need for further discussion and perhaps some amendments if any of these bills are to move forward. Is there anyone who wants to, any comments from the committee today? Everybody's had their chance. We appreciate that. Okay. Close the public hearing on House Bill 2277, 2278, and 2397. And as a preview for Friday, we'll be talking about land use in particular. If there aren't any other good comments for the good of the order, we get 34 minutes extra. We may need them later on. So, yeah. Committee's adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.